I want to read for you this morning Matthew's version of the Christmas story. Now, you've been cheated the last couple of weeks coming to church, although I think you had church on Saturday last week. What a brilliant... that was great. So, but some churches have not met for the last 2 weeks and haven't heard the Christmas story in their house of worship. So this morning we're going to read Matthew's version of the Christmas story, which is a little different from Luke's. There's only two stories in the New Testament, and he has to do with the wise men, as Olivia was Miss Olivia. Is that correct? Is that what they call you? No? They did. Oh, I got you. Okay. So hear the word of God from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless to our hearing this day the reading of His Word. And again, I want to say to you, thank you for the opportunity to be with you today, to share with you the sermon that I have titled, "When You Follow a Star and You Find a Stable." Pastor John and I have some similarities and some connections that I'd love to share with you. We both came to Maine around the same time. We're both PKs, preacher's kids. His dad and my dad were both American Baptist ministers. We both once lived in New Jersey. And we also, along with Patty, attended Alderson Broaddus College. which is an American Baptist college in Philippi, West Virginia. So we have some connections. And when I'm with John, we always kind of like to share some of those connections together. I have the privilege, as has noted in the bulletin this morning, of being a chaplain at Parkview Adventist Medical Center. And you probably know, but your church is one of the partners in prayer with Parkview. And once a month, a group from this church come and pray for the patients that day who happen to be in the hospital. And I'm very pleased that two of those faithful praying partners, Gardner and Hope Larrabee, I have been pleased to know very intimately, as we have shared many things together. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for this church's participation in that on behalf of the patients who benefit from those prayers. The Christmas story. How it delights our hearts. How it has changed the course of history. How it has become one of the most focal points in all of civilization. That in December of the year, people gather and they read the familiar Christmas story, usually from the book of Luke. But there's another Christmas story, and it has to do with the wise men, the kings, the magi, the astronomers, as we have been reminded this morning. And how important that story is for us. We hear it with young ears, as little children. We see pageants, and I think you had a living nativity, as I saw. I came in here this morning on Christmas Eve. Is that correct? Yeah? Oh, that did it in too. Well, you know, the story keeps going on, though. It doesn't stop with the weather. We witness this beautiful Christmas story. How Mary and Joseph are expecting this baby, and on this day it is born. And year after year, we come and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And you know who were the first people to be told about the birth were? The shepherds. The occupation in the Middle East in that time, that was probably one of the lowest occupations that you could have. Shepherds, who not just went out and once in a while fed the sheep and took care of them, they lived with them. You ever been around an animal? It kind of stinks. Ever been around someone who's been around animals? They kind of stink. And so here are these stinky shepherds, the first people to be told. What is God telling us in that? That somehow the message is for everyone, even the lowest, as they may be determined by our culture. And then we have these, we used to call them wise guys, the wise men. Astronomers, I think they were, because they had studied the stars. They knew about the heavenly phenomenon as they looked up night after night and saw these stars and how they moved from east to west and changed their configuration. And there they looked and they studied and they knew that when something had happened in the sky that they had never, ever seen before. They went scrambling to their books that they had no doubt in their library. And they came across that passage that we read this morning about somehow Bethlehem becoming a place where the light may shine someday. And so they set off. So how many of them were there? We don't know. It simply says magi or wise men from the east. We assume there were three because there were three gifts that they brought. What was that star? Some people say, well, there was a kind of an alignment of planets about that time in history, and maybe that's what it was, or maybe it was a star that was just getting brighter and burning out. You know, with your mind, you could begin to kind of concoct all sorts of things, but that's not how we totally read Scripture. I believe that we need to read Scripture with a discerning mind, but I think we also need to read Scripture with our heart. And so let's ask, what is it about this star? Well, we don't know, but these wise men from the east set out with precious gifts tucked away to find this incredible birth of a new monarch. Now imagine, they're dressed in their, no doubt, their finest clothes. They no doubt had an entourage. It wasn't just three of them. When you travel across the desert, it's a difficult journey. And so they were probably accompanied by many people. This was a big deal. They had great expectations about bringing their gifts and laying them before this new monarch, this new king that was to be born. And when they got there, Mary and Joseph, we know about them. Mary was a peasant girl. She wasn't of courtly status. Joseph was just a common man. And here is this Jesus, the King of the Jews, being born, not in a palace, which probably they were expecting, but out in back, in the barn, in a cave, somewhere. And the baby was laying in a feeding trough for the animals. And there were these stinky shepherds all around. So they followed this star thinking, wow, we're going to something that is grand and magnificent. And when they get there, what they find is a stable. Now, I believe this story, if we read it with our hearts, has something to say for us. I think this story about the wise men following a star and finding a stable is really a story for human beings, all of us. Whether we're of grand importance or whether we think we may be of the least importance, it's a story for all of us. Because sometimes we follow a star and we find a stable It's about expectations. These wise men were expecting something courtly, not a stable. We start out in life sometimes with great expectations, only to be disappointed at times. And sometimes the expectations are great, and we realize them. Wow, this is good. But other times they end up in great disappointments. The story is told of Helen Hayes. I love this story. The actress, just a wonderfully spiritual woman, by the way. And she wrote a number of things through the years. And one of the stories that she wrote was about the fact that she was never a cook. She was a great actress, but she couldn't cook a meal. And her family all knew that. And she got teased about it quite a bit. And she'd never cooked a Thanksgiving turkey before. And so she decided that this year was the year to cook a turkey. And they all teased her while she was getting ready for this. And she said, look, I got to sit you down. I got to tell you. All right? I'm going to bring the turkey out. I'm going to put it on the table. You're going to taste it. And if you don't like it, this is the agreement. You simply stand up from the table and we'll all go out to the restaurant. So she gets the turkey ready. She brings it in. She comes into the dining room, and there was her husband and her son already with their hat and coat on. Expectations. Didn't even give her a chance, did they? We have expectations around this whole Christmas time as kids. You go to sleep on Christmas Eve, if you can go to sleep, and you wake up the next morning with great expectation. But how about next Thursday when some of you have to go back to school? How hard is it going to be for you to get up and go to school that morning? Because, well, what is it? It's school. It's not getting up for Christmas morning. So the question I have for us this morning is, what happens when you've been following a star in your life that leads to a stable? What happens when all of a sudden, after thinking that something grand and glorious would be at the other end, you end up in the backyard of a barn? And there, instead of a palace and a king on a throne, you find a little baby held by a mother in a smelly cow stall. It's nothing like what you had anticipated. How do you react when you follow a star and you find a stable? Young people graduate with their diplomas tucked under their arm, only to find that landing a job is very difficult. How many times I stood at a church altar marrying a couple. They had great designs. Everybody thought this was the most beautiful relationship made in heaven, only to find a few years later that it had ended up in a divorce court. How many times have we kind of thought that our lives should just kind of go on as nice unending stories, only to be interrupted by disappointments of health or employment or you name? What some of your disappointments have been in life? Things don't always turn out how we expect them to. Instead, life hands us discouragements. Disappointments litter the floor of our lives. Dreams are vanished overnight. When these things happen, there are choices. We can become discouraged or despairing or even given way to depression. Or we can accept what happens and make the most of it, as my mother always invited me to do when something disappointing in my life happened. In the Peanuts cartoon, you know, Lucy sometimes likes to be a psychiatrist. And so one day she puts up her sign, "Psychiatric help, 5 cents." And as usual, her first customer is Charlie Brown. But this time, she's so frustrated with him that she says, "Charlie Brown, sometimes I feel like we're not communicating at all. You, Charlie Brown, are the foul ball in the drive of life. You're a miscue. You're 3 putts on the 18th green. You're a 7-10 split in the 10th frame. You're a dropped rod and reel in the lake. You're a missed free throw. You're a shanked 9-iron. You're a called third strike. You're a bug on the windshield of life. Do you understand? Do I make myself clear, Charlie Brown?" Sometimes we can identify with Lucy's description of Charlie Brown. Sometimes we are the Charlie Brown. The beautiful part of this Christmas story is what the wise men do when they come to the stable. We read a few moments ago, and when they came to the house, they offered their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Through their actions, they teach us some things. And let me share just a couple of them this morning. When wise individuals find themselves in a stable, let's call it a messy situation in life, they should look for God. And that they did. Wise people of every age, when handed a difficult situation, don't panic about the problem, but rather hold steady and they say, "God is somewhere in this stable. There's something here I can learn. I'll hold steady because God is somewhere in this place or in this situation." And that is the difference between a wise and a foolish person. The foolish person kind of panics and thinks that life is all centered around them, and I'm out of here. I don't deserve this. It shouldn't be happening to me. I'm so disappointed. But a wise person says, God, what are you saying to me as I'm in this messy situation? Wise Christians see God in both the good and the bad of life, in the barnyards, in the stables, in the messy situations. This is the message that the wise men have for us today in this story. And it's a message that's been given in the Bible over and over as we read these stories with our heart to say, God, what are you saying to me today? You've been following that star. Everything has been looking good. It's going well. Then all of a sudden you find yourself in that tough spot. Is this it? Is this what I signed up for as a Christian? How can it be? Remember that wise people have the ability to see God in all situations of life. John Maxwell, one of the great preachers of our era and writer, has a quote in one of his books. He writes, strong Christians see God in both the good and the bad. The mature believer sees God not only in the pleasures and the palaces, but also in the barnyards and the stables of life. That's the first thing we can learn. What is God saying to us? And the second thing that this story offers us, that when you find yourself in a spot like that, offer the very best gifts that you have. That's what the wise men did. They didn't sneak those precious treasures back in the caravan. They brought them out. They didn't understand what was going on, but they sensed that something great was here. They had a sense in their own lives that something incredible was about to happen. Couldn't put it together in their heads, but they responded with their heart and they offered the best gifts they had. Sometimes when we find ourselves in those messy situations, we have a tendency to pull back, to hold back. But what we need to do is to see that God is in the midst of everything, even in the disappointing places of life, but that we can learn to bless them, to embrace them as a part of our experience in life. We want to push them away. Yes, sometimes we even want to curse at them because disappointment and bitterness will often lead to anger, and an angry heart is not a giving heart. One of the ways of dealing with tough situations of life is to find a position of prayer. And if you're struggling with something really difficult, hold your hand out. And imagine in that hand is everything bitter and sour that life has dealt you right now. And hold it there. Don't push it away. Don't throw it over your shoulder. Hold it in your hand. And then hold out your other hand. And say, what is one of the most sweet things of life that I have right now? Is it God loves me? Is it I am a child of God? And hold that precious, valuable treasure in your hand. And then hold them together and offer them to God. And say to God, lead me, O Lord, that I may understand the message for me today. That is how wise people live. The wise men came bearing their gifts in their hand and offered them unto the baby Jesus. May we offer our lives today. All the bitterness, all the sweetness, everything that God has given to us, and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Let us pray.